Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the later days. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your precious book, precious word of God. Thank you for the truth that's in it. And I pray tonight that as we look at this short chapter, that we would consider the wonderful truths that are in these five verses. Help us to understand your love for us in a greater way tonight. And help us to understand the love that you want us to have for others. Thank you for each one that's here. Bless them now. Bless Brother Wendell. Thank you for him as he sings for us. Use his song to teach us a heavenly truth and encourage us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to review just for a little bit tonight before we look at chapter 3. Let me do that with a series of questions. Somebody tell me who was Hosea a prophet to? What part of the nation of Israel? The northern kingdom. You remember that at this particular time in the life of Israel, their nation was divided into two parts, the northern kingdom, which consists of about 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom, which consisted of two. And Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom, probably lived in the northern kingdom, and so knew what was going on and knew the wickedness that that the people went to. And something I didn't get to mention, there's a lot of things I didn't get to mention the last two times. It was because of the sin of Solomon and all the wives and concubines that he had that God split the kingdom. He'd made a promise to David that one of David's descendants was going to sit on the throne of Israel forever. And he kept that promise to David in the southern kingdom. In the northern kingdom, as we talked about last week, it was the son of a captain in Solomon's army that God set up to be the king the northern kingdom, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was a captain. And it was God's plan that Jeroboam be the king of the northern kingdom as long as, or one of his descendants, as long as the nations were split. But because Jeroboam did something that displeased God, God did not get to do what he planned to do. And what that thing that Jeroboam did was that he set up this system of calf worship. The worship of Baal. And every single king of the northern kingdom after the king of Jeroboam continued that practice. And that's one of the reasons that God punished them. All right, looking at chapter 3, the chapter starts out, Then said the Lord unto me. Okay, now this is Hosea talking. And he starts out by saying, The Lord told me. And we're going to look at what he told him to do. Now, this is the third time already in the book of Hosea that God's told Hosea to do something. The first thing was that he told Hosea to go take a wife of whoredoms. In other words, go marry a woman that was going to, after they were married, become a harlot. And as we talked about last night, Hosea went and married Gomer. They had one child together. And then Gomer had two other children that Hosea took into his home to raise as his own. After that happened, Gomer left, and she went into full-time prostitution. And as we mentioned last week, that was connected with Baal worship. And as they committed this sexual sin together, the people thought they were providing example to the gods in the heaven. And if the gods in the heaven did the same thing, then the whole land would be blessed. Their crops would be blessed. Their animals would be blessed. And isn't it? I mean, I look back at this, and I don't see how anybody can believe something that stupid. I mean, I just shake my head every time I think about it. How can anybody think that it's dumb enough to believe in other gods, but then to believe that those gods are going to watch you and then do something that would cause everything to be blessed, in my mind, is just utter stupidity. It also talks to us about the depravity of man. I mean, God, it took a wicked man to think something this perverse. And so God told Hosea, first of all, go take a wife of whoredoms. And then as the children was born, God told Hosea what to name them. And as we talked a little bit last Sunday night and then again on Wednesday night, the meaning of those children's names meant something. You remember the first son? His name meant the judgment of God, that God was going to come and judge the northern kingdom. Then a daughter was born. And her name meant that there was no more pity, that God was going to take no more pity on the northern kingdom. And then a third son was born, and his name meant, I'm no longer going to be your God. And you can see the steps in the judgment of God. And so in chapter 3 and verse 1, then said the Lord unto me, this is the third time that God was coming to Hosea and telling him what to do. And notice what he says. Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. All right, who do you think that woman is that verse is talking about? Somebody tell me. Who do you think that is? Gomer, that's right, it's Gomer. And so God is coming to Hosea and saying, now, Gomer's been gone now. Hosea's raised the children. Gomer's gone into full-time prostitution. She's away from home. Hosea probably, they haven't been together. They've seen each other, I think, as we're going to talk again, or that we're going to talk about in just a minute. But God says to Hosea, go, and I think that word yet means again. Go again and love a woman, beloved of her friend. Go again and love Gomer. And that word friend can be interpreted husband. And what God is saying, Hosea, you have had a steadfast love for Gomer throughout this whole experience. He says, Hosea, I want you to go again. Now, we talked about Wednesday night. Hosea tried to get his children to go and talk to Gomer and beg their mother to come back into their home. Because you see, Hosea, regardless of what Gomer did, still loved her. And he wanted her back to be his wife. He wanted her back in her place in the home. And so God came to him and says, Hosea, go again. Go to her again. And perhaps Hosea had gone time after time to Gomer and got down on his knees and said, Gomer, will you please come home? Gomer, would you please come back and be my wife? Gomer, I want you back. I don't care what you've done. I don't care the sin that you've committed. I don't care about the shame that you brought to our family. Gomer, I want you back. And God says, Hosea, go again. Go again. You've loved her. You've had a steadfast love for this woman. Yet she's been an adulteress. And God says, Hosea, just overlook that. I mean, it's a wicked sin, but you just go ahead and love her again. And notice what he says, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. What God was saying is, Hosea, I want you to go and love Gomer just like I love the children of Israel. Now, they've turned to other gods, and they love flagons of wine. And flagons of wine could be better interpreted raisin cakes. And raisin cakes were cakes that the worshipers of Baal made out of raisins, and it was used in this sexual sin that they did to serve as an example for their gods in heaven. And God was saying, and he's talking about the northern kingdom, these 10 tribes. He says, I love these people. They're my people. I was their God. And they've turned away from me. They've gone after other gods. They've eaten these raisin cakes in this perverse kind of worship. But just like I never gave up on them, just like I still love them regardless of the sin that they were in, just like I still call them my people when they were worshiping other gods, you go love Hosea, or you go love Gomer again. You go to her again and tell her that you love her. And again, God is using the marriage of Hosea and Gomer and everything they go through to paint a picture for us about how much he not only loved the children of Israel, the northern kingdom at this time, but how much he loved us. And I was thinking about it. In this verse, it was God that initiated through Hosea the love for Gomer. You know, that's the same way he works today. God always takes the initiative. Stop and think about it. When you got saved, did you go after God or did God come after you? In every single case, I dare say, God came after you. You were a sinner. The Bible says that the things of this book were foolishness to you. You had no desire to come to God, but God took the initiative, and he came and had the Holy Spirit come to you, and the Bible says, woo you unto him. I mean, he gave you the desire to come, and then he did everything that was needed for us to come, and it was a... And so God takes the initiative. And then God comes again and again and again. How many of you got saved the first time that you heard the gospel? Anybody? Was there anybody here that got saved the very first time you heard that you were a sinner and that Christ died for sinners? Probably not. I heard the gospel over and over and over and over again before God finally got through to me. I'm glad he didn't give up. I'm glad he didn't say one time's enough. He kept coming back and coming back. And you know, it doesn't quit when we become one of his children and we drift away and we get off course and we walk away from him. He never quits loving us. He's always got us in sight. And he comes again and again and again. Come back, come back, come back. And he paints a picture for us here. He says, Hosea, I know Gomer's disgraced you in your name. I know she's done wicked sin, but go again and love her and bring her home. Look at verse 2. Hosea says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. Many people think that Gomer at this time had become a temple prostitute, a temple slave, that she would be used in the act of worship, that perverse act of worship, and that she was a slave of the temple. And so when Hosea went to bring her home, he had to go and buy her from the temple. And 15 pieces of silver, and then a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. In other words, a homer and a half of barley. Most scholars think that that was worth 15 shekels of silver also. So you put it all together, 30 shekels of silver, the price of a slave. It cost Hosea. He was to go love again, but it cost him to love. In Micah's day, who was a contemporary of Hosea, they paid the priest 10 shekels of silver a year plus his upkeep. And so this might have been 3 years' salary for Hosea. And the fact that he had to pay half of it in barley probably indicates that he had a year and a half salary saved and he spent that and he had to make up the rest in barley because he didn't have the money. I mean, he had to get down to the bottom of the barrel. He scraped together everything that he could in order to buy Gomer back. Now, it cost God something to love us. I mean, don't you think for a minute that God didn't pay for the love that he had for us. It cost him his only begotten son. It cost Jesus his life as he went to Calvary. And my dear friend, if we are to love like God does, it's going to cost us too. I want you to think, and nobody say anything out loud. I want you to think tonight of the person in your life who would be the hardest to love. Okay? The hardest to love. I mean, think if somebody's done you wrong, if somebody's cheated you, if somebody's told lies about you, Think of the put in your mind and think about the person that you know in this world that would be the hardest for you to love. Now think about Hosea and Gomer. Here was Hosea. He married Gomer. They had one child. Gomer went out and was unfaithful to him and had two more. He took those children into his home. Gomer left him to raise the children, left him to take care of the duties of the home, went out and wasted her life in prostitution. And God said, Hosea, I want you to love her. But notice what God says. I want you to love her because I've taught you how to love as I've loved the children of Israel. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. The Bible says, go and love others like I've loved you. Jesus said that to his disciples. And think about tonight, the person that would be hardest for you to love, God would come to you tonight and say, I want you to love them. I want you to love them. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, they're my enemy. God wants you to love them. And the love that he's talking about is different than the love that we usually know today. We usually love somebody because they love us back. And if they don't love us back, we quit loving them. That's not the kind of love that God has for us, nor the kind of love that he wanted Hosea to have toward Gomer. God says, I want you to love even when the person doesn't love you back. And I want you to love them in such a way that your love will overcome their non-return of love. I want you to love them until they love you back. That's what God was telling Hosea to do to Gomer. He said, I know she doesn't love you. She doesn't love you because she's gone into sin. But Hosea, if you love her, she'll come back. Just like the people of Israel. God says, they don't deserve my love, but I'm going to keep loving them. And I'm going to love them even though they don't love me back. I'm going to love them even though they've gone and worshipped other gods. I'm going to love them even though they've gotten into this perverse sort of worship. I'm going to have a steadfast, redeeming love for them that brings them back to me. And I submit to you tonight that that's the kind of love that God wants us to have for others. Not only our brothers, I mean, it's easy for us to love each other in this place. I mean, we have our fusses and fights, and sometimes it's a little hard, but it's easy for us to love the people in this room. But God would say, I want you to love your worst enemy. I want you to love the person you hate the most. Just like that, with the same kind of love. Notice verse 3. And I, Hosea, said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Hosea bought Gomer. He said he went to Homer, or he, Hosea bought Gomer. And he went to Gomer, and he said, Gomer, you're going to come into my home, and you're going to be for me many days. That expression, many days, it's not forever. But it's a prolonged period of time. And what Hosea was saying, Gomer, you're going to come into the home and you're going to stay in the home. You're going to stay home and you're going to be for me. Thou shalt not play the harlot. You're not going to be able to go out and chase other men. Thou shalt not be for another man. You're not going to have another man. So will I also be for thee. Hosea said, I'm going to continue to be just like I've been through all this whole experience. I've been only for you. Hosea didn't go out and take up with other women when Gomer was gone. He kept himself pure. He says, I'm for Gomer. I'm going to keep myself for her. And when he bought her back, he said, now Gomer, I'm going to put you in this tight place. You're going to be in the home. You say, is it a prison? No, it wasn't a prison, but it was a confinement that Hosea put on Gomer so that she could do a couple of things. Number one, she could feel the love that Hosea had for her, and she could understand it. She could come to that place and think about it. Oh, Hosea really loves me. He brought me back into his home. He made me his wife again. And then, number two, he put her in that tight place so that she would begin to love him again. And you know, that's what God has to do to us sometimes. I mean, we wander off and we get away from him and get out of his will, and God has to slap us and put us back into a tight place. And we say, God, why? Because he wants you to remember that he loves you. He don't want you chasing other gods. He don't want you going after something that's going to get you away from him. He wants you to stay at home. He wants you to be for him. And that's why he puts us in tight places. That's why he breaks our back sometimes. That's why he knocks the props out from us sometimes. He says, I want to get you in a tight place so that you will remember that I love you and how much I love you and what it cost for me to love you, and I want you to love me back. Verse 4, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. And what God was saying, he says, Hosea, I'm going to do the same thing to the people of Israel, to the northern kingdom. I'm going to take away their king. Now, it was important to the people to have a king. You remember when God first started out with the nation of Israel, he wanted to be their ruler. And he had prophets like Samuel. And the people came to Samuel and said to God, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And God said, well, all right. I was going to be your king. I was going to be that one that led you. And so he gave him a king. Gave him King Saul. Then he gave him David. Bible says a man after God's own heart. And he said, David, you're going to sit on the throne and your descendants are going to rule my people forever and ever. And now God says to the northern kingdom, because of your sin, because of you going after other gods, I'm going to take away your king. I'm going to take away your prince. You're not going to have an earthly leader. And he says, without a sacrifice. Now stop and think about it. Even though the sacrifices that they were offering were perverted at this time, it was still their system of worship. They were still trying to worship God. And God says, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to take away the system of worship that you've known for decades, for hundreds of years. I'm going to take it away. Without an ephod, without a teraphim. An ephod was part of the breastplate that the high priest wore. And they used it to get words from God. And God said, I'm going to take that away. And teraphim there was small household gods that people had in their homes that they could pray to, and those gods would give them direction from God. And God says, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to put you in a tight place. I'm going to take away your earthly leadership. I'm going to take away the system of worship that you've known. I'm going to take away those things that you use to get direction from God. And I'm going to put you in that tight place so that you will know and remember how much I love you, so that you will love me again. And in verse 5, afterward shall the children of Israel return. Now, we don't know, as you read the rest of the book of Hosea, we don't know how Gomer responded. But I think we get a picture in verse 5 because God tells us how the people of Israel are going to respond. And remember, Gomer was portraying the people of Israel. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. And I think what that pictures is that Gomer came back. I mean, she was already in Hosea's home, but she came back to the point where she could say, Hosea, I love you. You're my husband. I love you. And seek the Lord their God. That word seek talks about the intensity that the people of Israel were going to come back to God. They were going to come back to God and they were going to seek him. They were going to say like Paul, my greatest desire is to know him. I want to know God. I want to know more about him. and I want to know his suffering. I want to know how he paid the price for my sin. And it speaks about the intensity that the people of Israel were going to have coming back after their God. And I think it speaks about the intensity of the love that Gomer had for Hosea. I mean, they weren't husband and wife in name only. No, she loved him with an intense love. And shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. Now, were they looking for David? No, they weren't looking for David. They were looking for the second David. They were looking for the coming Christ. They were looking for the coming Messiah. And shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the later days. God says, the northern kingdom's going to come back to me. And they're going to seek me with an intensity to know me. And they're going to fear me. Again, not fear trembling like that, but fear great respect. Because they've understood once again how much God loved them. Fear the Lord and his goodness in the later days, till the end of time. I think that's what happened between Hosea and Gomer. I mean, this is a story that doesn't start out like a fairy tale, but I think it ends like one. They lived happily ever after together. Husband and wife. Why? Because Hosea obeyed God. He listened to God. He never quit loving Gomer. Even though she sinned, even though she strayed off, he still loved her. He bought her back. Put her in a tight place where she learned to love him again. And that's the same way that God deals with us. You know, God never quits loving you. Regardless of the sin or how wayward we become, he never quits loving us. I've known fathers that have quit loving their children. I mean, I know some children that have done some pretty wicked things. And I wonder if my children did the same thing, if I could keep loving them. But I'll tell you one thing. We have a heavenly Father that regardless of what we do, will never quit loving us. And will always try to get us to come back and to love him again. And then let me close. That's the way we ought to love each other. God gives us an example. He says, that's the way I want you to love each other. Don't love people just because they love you back. You love them because God tells you to do it. And make it a redeeming love. A love that loves to restore the relationship. God says, that's the way I loved you. That's the way I want you to love each other. Father, thank you for the precious truth in your word. Thank you for reminding us tonight how much you loved us. It's a love that cost you and Jesus greatly. And it's a love that sometimes we take for granted. A love that we sometimes walk away from. I pray tonight that as we've talked about Hosea and Gomer and the love that you had for the nation of Israel, we'd be reminded of a God that loves us that same way. And I pray tonight that we'd once again remember that you never quit loving us. And that if we've gone astray, we, like the prodigal son, can turn around and come home and know there's a dad there that will welcome us.